Hello, everyone. We are going to get started today. It's the time to talk about the time. So y'all come on in. If you are brand new, welcome to No BS. Wednesday calls are all about me, usually teaching something and answering questions that are going to help you lose weight easier, faster, remove the obstacles, just make sure that everything that you need to know to lose weight is getting answered. So this month in the membership, what we're going to do is we're going to focus on time. One of the biggest things is that I get asked is like, how do you lose weight when you're busy? How do you make it all fit in? How do you get the things done to lose weight? And so before we even really get started on what I want to teach you today, this is going to be a four-part series. So every Wednesday this month, I'll be teaching you another part of this course. We're going to live teach it this time instead of me dropping pre-record videos because I want to be able to answer a lot of questions. So one of the things that people often ask me is, you know, well, how do I make time to lose weight? It just seems like losing weight is going to take a lot of time. When you've done past diets, that could be true. If you think about past diets, if it required, like a lot of times people will do those boot camp challenges where, you know, for 8 weeks, we're going to meet at 5 a.m. and we're going to like sweat it out, kick our ass. And then, you know, sometimes you have to weigh in and sometimes you're having to sit through a seminar about the shakes that they think you should do. It's normal for our brain to think that weight loss takes a lot of time. I don't think weight loss should take a lot of time. I actually think weight loss must happen in the moments of the day. It is not about how much time you're spending. Like for a lot of you, some people like to food prep on Sundays. They like to take 2 to 3 hours to get food ready. So the rest of the week, there's no more time invested in weight loss. All my decisions are made. This is what I'm going to be eating. And the only thing I have to do the rest of the week is overcome the urge to not eat the shit that I made on Sunday. And then I've saved lots and lots of time. For some people, they don't want to be food preppers. They don't want to spend that time. Y'all, I am so sorry, but I am literally, my leg is just bleeding. Cut myself shaving. I had to get a tissue. All right. So for a lot of people, they don't want to do a food prep, but what they don't want is like they would rather spend a few minutes each day deciding what they want to do for the rest of the week. Like they're like, you know what? I'm going to get up and make my plan. That's going to be all my decisions ahead of time. And when I make my 24-hour plan, it's going to save me time the rest of the day. Because all I got to focus on once I have a plan is overcoming my urges. So one of the things that I try really hard to do inside of No BS is make sure that the only things we ask you to do weight save you time. They save you heartache. They save you emotional struggle. They overcome the things that have notoriously stood in your way of weight loss. The reason why I don't have you track your food and do calories and all that other kind of bullshit is because it takes a lot of time and it doesn't make your weight loss easier. Now, there are a few of you who will get down on some numbers and sometimes counting calories for you, like it's like it makes more sense to your brain and stuff. That is the very small percentage. Most people, it doesn't. Most people, counting the calories and stuff tends to take up a lot of time. It tends to not allow them the freedom and flexibility to learn how their body's responding. It makes them feel helpless and controlled by the app itself. And so that's why I don't believe in it. I don't think for the vast majority of people that it's a time-saving technique. I think it actually adds more time to losing weight. So we do hunger and enough because trying to figure out if you're hungry and trying to figure out if you had enough can happen in the seconds of a meal, in the seconds before you eat. It can happen in these quick bursts. This is how we want to lose weight faster. The other thing I'll say about it is one of the things that we're going to really focus on the remainder of this year and starting in 2024 is that one of the basics is getting ready to change. It's going to get enhanced a little bit. I've been thinking about sleep and water and how sleep and water are very important, but they don't really tell you what that basic is about. The fourth basic. So basic number one is we're going to make our 24-hour plan every day. I want to split it up to where basic number two, and now, y'all, I'm just giving you a preview into some of the shit that I'm thinking about. So don't like, where's that video? When's that coming out? I have not written this curriculum. This is just something I've been thinking about for all of you. I want to make basics one and two and three hunger and enough, because I think that they need their dedicated time. That's why this year we have spent months on enough. We have spent months on hunger. Like, we have broken them down. The fourth basic really should be my basic human needs are being met. Water and sleep are only two of the basic human needs. But when I really start thinking about weight loss and what gets in y'all's way and why we're doing time this month, maximizing our time so we can maximize our weight loss, is because the fourth basic is really about meeting basic human needs, which encompasses water, sleep. The ability to comfort yourself is a basic human need. Humans need to feel comfort. This is why we sleep in beds with blankets. I want you to think about this. You know, animals, they just stop, drop, and nap in the woods. What do humans do? We don't even in the caveman days, what do? We found shelter. We discovered straw felt really good. If we had the hide of an animal, that's kind of cozy. Makes us feel safe, protects us from the elements. So comfort is a big one. The ability to find pleasure in your life outside of food is another basic human need. Humans are hardwired to be pleasured. This is why sex feels good. Hopefully it does. You know, for some of us, like me, y'all know I got to have the guaranteed winner. Corinne's got to have a guaranteed winner. She needs an assist in the bedroom. Just saying. But this is the thing. We have to be able to meet our basic human needs. Because if you're not able to comfort yourself, and you're not able to find pleasure in your life. And then the third one, which is true rest, not just sleep, but rest in the micro moments of the day, resting when you're worrying. And I don't mean going and lighting a candle and sitting in your bedroom and taking a nap. I mean, how do you rest your mind when you're in a meeting with 20 people and you're terrified of what everybody thinks? And you're worried you're going to get fired. How do you create rest in that moment? How do we as women rest in life without guilt or feeling as if it's selfish? So one of the things you're going to hear me start talking a lot about and putting an emphasis on when it comes to the four basics is that last one is about our basic human needs. Now here comes time management. How does this fit in? Number one, a lot of you are not making your 24-hour plan and you're not journaling and you're not figuring out what's going on in your head simply because you think it takes a lot of time and you ain't got none. So I want to challenge you how to do your 24-hour plan in 3 minutes a day and stop saying I'm too busy. Because if you ain't got fucking 3 minutes a day to decide your food ahead of time, to figure out how to make the rest of the day easier on yourself so that all you have to do is navigate your urges now so that you can find the patterns as to why you keep overeating so that you know you're meeting your nutritional needs, your emotional needs, your time constraint needs. If you don't have those 3 minutes a day, we need to examine your life at this point. And I'm not shitting you. I get it. I am a busy person. And I'm self-proclaimed. I don't mind even telling people I'm a busy person. But I'm a well-managed mind around it. I don't blame my life for why I can't do things. You know why I'm so busy? Because I'm packing my life with the things that matter. I'm not busy because I'm packing my life with shit that doesn't. And we're going to learn that together this whole month. The other thing is thinking weight loss takes so much time. You ain't got to fucking listen to a word I ever say. You know what you do need to do though? Listen to your plan, listen to your belly, and listen to your brain. You don't have to listen to Corinne to lose weight. Is it easier for a lot of you if you're walking around listening to me at 1.5 to 2 times speed in your private member podcast? Is it easier when you listen to some coaching calls and some of these lessons? Yeah, but it ain't fucking required. Do you know what is required? Not giving up, not making excuses. Because you can lose weight or you can make excuses, but I can fucking promise you they don't work together. Excuse makers don't lose weight. So if you don't have time to listen to my calls, you need to tell yourself, it's not that I don't have time to listen to calls. You know what? I do have time to make a 24-hour plan. I give myself 3 minutes. I don't care if you have to sit on a toilet at your office with your notes app out. I would do that before I'd ever make a fucking excuse as to why I can't find 3 minutes a day to figure out how I'm going to treat myself with food. Then you need to listen to your enough. Then you need to listen to your hunger. And that takes seconds a day. And then you need to layer in basic human needs. You've got to drink water. I'm like, boo hoo, everyone. You have to drink water. It is required for a human. You can go 30 days without food before a really bad shit happens to you. You could only go 3 days without water before you die. So this isn't like some kind of thing that Corinne like throws in there as an after effect and all this other shit for your weight loss. It's called human biology. Get on board and figure out water. Water also makes it easier to not have your urges being out of control. It makes it easier for you to manage your stress levels. If you're dehydrated, you're going to be stressed out easier because your body keeps trying to prioritize getting you some food or water. And it makes everything else seem like a big problem, harder than it has to be. So if you're fucking tired of that shit, drink your water. Get your rest, and then we've got to get the major ones in. How can you carve out time? How can you create time for rest in the micro moments, pleasure in your life that doesn't require food, and comforting yourself when you feel guilty or selfish for taking a minute for yourself? Okay. This is what I wanted to kick off with because I need a lot of you to really pay a time because this month is all about mastering your time so you can master your weight loss. And again, every week I will be teaching live. I invite you to ask questions in the Q&A. I would like what we're going to do today is the majority of the questions I'm going to be answering on this call are all going to be focused on managing time. So before you load the Q&A up, let me teach. When I get about, give me about 15, 20 minutes in, if you start having questions, go ahead and start asking them then, just to make sure it's not something that I'm already going to cover. If you have general weight loss questions, if you're newer to us, or you're just like, you know what, I'm really struggling with enough, I'm really like these things, you can ask them in the Q&A. And Lisa is there. She's one of our No BS coaches. She will answer those questions for you. And then Mish is over in the chat. She will be in all caps, recapping things and kind of helping the chat along. All right, let me get my notes up and then we will be ready to rock and roll. And let Corinne zoom in because she's a little bit on the blind side these days. Oh God, I zoomed out. That's not going to help. Hang on. Still bitching and struggling with my glasses, but that I will overcome one day. All right. So let us start with just time management 101. Like, what is the definition of time management? So I looked it up, and the best definition that I found, because I think a lot of people think that it's all about calendaring and all this other stuff. Those are actions that we do to manage our time, but that's not actually time management. Time management is your ability to use the time you have effectively. And I really want y'all to think about this, because a lot of times we think time management is a calendaring system and making sure that, like, everything that's on our list can get done. That is not time management. Time management, the first thing about people who are successful, who get a lot done, who like if y'all all think like, oh my God, Corinne, she's the best time manager, blah, blah, blah. We think it's about our ability to focus and stuff. No. Step one is always the ability to prioritize. Because here's the truth. Corinne doesn't get everything done. Tons and tons of shit gets stacked on Corinne daily. I mean, daily. I get no less than 5 to 10 requests from my team for me to do things that, like, sometimes they take, like, I just wrote this weekend, I wrote 56 emails for my business membership while also coaching 150 people, doing our group coaching calls, leading my team, and a host of other crap that I have to do just to make the minimum baseline of my job. But here's what I'm good at. I am really good at making sure that what I choose to spend my time on is the priority, is important. Isn't me saying yes to something to not upset someone, to not people please. And we're going to get into that. But the very first thing that we all have to remember is that when you are going to be good with time, it's because you're using your time effectively, not because you're really good at calendaring. Some people I know are the most stressed out, the people who get what they would say, like, I follow my calendar, I plan everything, and yet the things that I need to get done never get done. And it's because what they're doing is they're just taking a big ass list of shit that they think they're should do, supposed to do, said yes to because they didn't want to hurt people's feelings and stuff. And they move it to the list and then they just find holes for it and they're constantly busy. They're burned out. They're overwhelmed. They're stressed, but they're getting some shit done. But that lack of prioritizing forces people to eat. You're turning up the dial of food urges. So we want to watch for that. So first and foremost, we have to learn how to use our time effectively, which means I am going to be prioritizing what actually now goes on my list. And if it's not really important, if, you know, Rome isn't going to burn, if I don't do it today, it moves to the later list. So very often, one of the things that I do that really helps me, because I want to give y'all some practical tips and shit, is I get a lot of requests. I get a lot of ideas of like, oh, we should do this. Like, oh, like, let's rewrite this. Or, oh, this would be so great. Then I look at it and I'm like, all right, what needs to get done, like, in the next week, the next few days, or whatever? Only that moves to the part of my system where I plan things. Everything else, it goes in a container. You can use any containers you want in the world. That can be simply, a lot of you like notebooks. You can just have a notebook that has one of the things I use an iPad now, but one of the things I used to do when I used to use like notebooks like this one is current notes would go in the front, but in the back I would have like some kind of a sticky note, like a tab, and I would just stick it there. And on those pages on back, it was just running to-do lists of not nows. There's no, like, this right is a not now thing. Looking at all my priorities, looking at all the things, these are things I would like to do that seem important, but they don't need my attention now. We can plan for this later. And then when you run through the other stuff, you can always come back to your not now list. The most valuable thing, we've called it squirrel cage, all kinds of stuff in my business. One of the most valuable things we ever did was create not now lists. Because what happens is 2 to 3 weeks later, when it's like, all right, let's run through this and see what we want to move over to doing now. And a lot of our ideas that sound amazing or that we want to do in the moment or we feel pressured to do or that we don't want to let someone down, we come back to it and our brain is fresh. Our brain is thinking about it completely differently. And we cross it off the list. That is the power of prioritizing before you plan. Some people say making lists causes me anxiety. Let's just remember for a second to everyone how this works. Let me just stand. Glad I got my flip chart. In fact, I'll just stand for the rest of this. Let me rearrange my office. So, come over here. I believe it was Candy that said that. You have a thought. You have a feeling, anxiety. Up here, all we got is a fact. I'm looking at my to-do list. Or I'm about to make one. My handwriting is atrocious. That can't cause you anxiety. Everyone repeat after me. I only feel something because I think something first. There is a pit stop. When I feel something, anybody that says that makes me feel needs to dead stop immediately because that's it's and they's can't make you feel jack shit. Words can't make you feel jack shit. To-do lists cannot make you feel jack shit. What can happen, though, is you can be making a list and you can think things like, this is too much to handle. I'll never get this done. I hate the shit on this list. I should have never said yes to this stuff. I'm going to let everybody down because I can't get it done. Now, that's a bunch of shit. Causes anxiety. And this is the thing. If you don't make a list, I'm going to bet, Candy, that you have anxiety anyway. And this is how it pops up. I don't have a list. I'm scared I'm going to forget things. I wake up in the middle of the night with things on my mind. I'm always trying to remember things. I'm paranoid I'm not going to remember things. So Candy's like, you're correct. So this is the thing, Candy. You get to be anxious that you're going to forget shit, not do things, not get it all done. Or you can be anxious looking at your list until you learn to say this about the list. What really causes me anxiety is worrying I'm going to forget things. At least this list shows me in one place what I need to be doing. That gives me authority. The moment you have a list, everyone, guess what you now have? You have authority and choice. When you don't have a list, you usually feel out of control and is as if things are just landing on your plate. Things just get thrown at me. When you have a list, guess what you give yourself the option to do? When you make a list, let's put to-do list here. You have your tasks. And then you have you looking at it, and you have a brain. And your thought gets to be, what on this list am I doing that I really don't want to do? Then you give yourself the choice of, if I don't really want to do it, why am I saying yes? You open up a lot of knowledge about you. Oh, I said yes because I don't want to be seen as that mom who doesn't help out in class. So then you now have another choice. No longer do I say I don't want to do this. I say the reason why I'm going to stay up late and make cookies tonight for tomorrow is because I didn't want anyone to think I was a bad mother. So I actually do want to do this. And I'll keep doing this until I decide that I would rather not make cookies at night and allow them to think whatever they want. If you aren't giving yourself lists, you're giving yourself no chance to examine why you say yes to things, how you prioritize, what you think about stuff. Because there's nothing that ever goes on your list that you don't want to do at some level on the inside. I promise all of you that. Every single one of you. A lot of you be like, yeah, but I don't want to go to my job every day. I'm like, I don't know. I think what you do want is food, clothing, and shelter. You just don't like your job. There's a big difference between not wanting to go and saying, you know what? I am going because it pays the bills. I don't really love it, but that's very different than every day waking up going like, I don't want to. I have to. Because then we feel disempowered. This is the power of looking at things. Now, some of you are in the opposite boat. You're like, I've got all the time in the world. Like when I make a list, there's hardly nothing on it and I'm still not getting anything done. It's good to know. In those moments, you need to look at, like, this is what I always love about this. I don't make lists because there's not much on there and I'm still not getting anything done. Try making a short list. Try making a list every day that says, you know what? My minimum baseline today is I actually make a plan. I actually ask, do I have my hunger and enough signals? Give yourself some things to do each day. Give your brain some direction. When you're like sitting around just thinking like, I just have all this time in the world and I don't know why I'm not doing anything. It's probably because you're not giving yourself enough direction to say, here are the things we're going to do today. Just like, for example, a lot of you, this comes up with a lot of retired people all the time is, and I know we got a ton of women in our membership who are now retired. And so it's really hard when you go from being busy all the time to having an expansion of time. We don't know what to do with ourselves. And when we don't, and when we're used to being busy all the time, it's like, we kind of just keep rolling through the day. It's just like with me, if I have, one reason I love a jam-packed schedule is because I get so much done when my schedule's compact. If I've got a project, let's take those 59 emails I wrote this weekend. I literally had 2.5 days to get it done. I knew I needed to turn it over to my team in order for them to have time to do what they needed to do. And so I was like, all right, 2.5 days. That's what I got. I'm going to get after it. If I'd had a week, guess how long it would have took me to do those? Would have took me a week. I would have worked leisurely. I would have like thrown in extra things and gotten lost and all this other stuff. So when you have an expansion of time, what you still want to do is you still want to plan blocks, and then you want to plan for not wanting to do it, for thinking there's plenty of time. That's not always a bad thought. Like if you're real busy thinking, like for me, I tend to be very packed and jammed all the time with my schedule. And what I tell myself, rather than there's not enough time, I'm usually telling myself, hey, there's plenty of time. Everything I need to get done has a spot on the calendar. I have prioritized. So I know there's plenty of time. It's just all filled. But then for some of you, when you think I have plenty of time, you kind of fall into apathetic feelings. It's not reassuring. It's like, and this is where we have to check in when it comes to time. You want to say in those moments, I do have plenty of time, but here's what I'm going to do. I'm still going to plan it and I'm going to get it done during this moment. Because what I'm learning is that focused time, allotted time, is how I want to think about it now. Instead of just thinking there's plenty of time to get it done and watch myself day after day do nothing, I want to say, like, here are the things that I'm going to do and here's why they matter. This is what we're going to do. And I'm not going to expect myself to want to do it. I'm going to expect myself to think there's plenty of time, but I'm going to practice not kicking the can down the road anymore. Plenty of time is like my gateway drug into setting up my future self to have to want to do it later. She ain't going to want to do it no more than I'm going to want to do it right now. So I might as well get this done for her. And that's one of the ways that I would look at that. All right. Let me get back on track because I have like totally started teaching all kinds of stuff. So we want to use our time effectively. Here's the next thing. Everybody has this called the 888 rule. And this is just for us to get our mind wrapped around a few things. 8, 8, and 8. 8 for sleep. 8 for work. 8 for what? Now, not everybody is getting 8 hours of sleep. Not everybody has 8 hours of work. But in general, whenever I've explained this concept like this, what it has helped me to do when I first heard it was like, holy shit, it's about right. Like, even if I add a 2 hour commute to this and move this to 10 hours, I still have 6 hours a day that has shit unaccounted for usually. Because what most of us are good at doing is planning the busy part of our life, but we're not good at planning the pleasurable time of our life, the off time, the micro moments. That's what I do. Because I'm going to tell all of you, I am as scatterbrained as anyone. I have a lack of focus like you wouldn't believe. I think people don't think that's me, but just watch me teach a class. I am on bullet 2 of about 20 right now. I get off on tangents. Like, I squirrel all the time. Focus is hard for me. It does not come easy. I have just decided to set myself up for as much success as possible that allows me to know when I'm not focused to come on back. Just like those emails. Sounds like I got a lot done. Had it not been for me, like every 20 to 25 minutes, having to pause, take a break, switch gears, like suddenly I'm like, I'll find myself on Instagram looking for something, like 1,000 different things. I probably could have gotten it done in a day. But that's not Corinne. So one of the things that I do, that I make sure I do, is I plan my leisure time. I know when I'm working out each day. I know when TV time starts. I just give myself structure because I'm really, like, it is hard for me to have structure. But what I've seen is that structure works better for me because I get unfocused super easy. Because my brain does go everywhere. So I can't really afford not to give myself some structure in my life, especially when it comes to leisure time. Because if I don't tell myself it's time to watch TV, next thing I know, I'm like checking in the Facebook group. I've like got my laptop back out. I'm reading articles on weight loss and business. I'm slacking my team because I can't even focus on the goddamn TV when it's on. Next thing I know, I'm back on my phone. So I have to give myself like focus, leisure time, and I have to bring myself back to it to get the rest. So the reason why I'm saying this is because I want you to really think about this. I want you to think about how many hours do I typically spend sleeping? How many hours do I typically spend just working or with my kids, whatever that is? And I want you to see what is the final eight made up of? Now, when you've got littles, if your grandkids are visiting you and that kind of stuff, this may be only an hour a day. But this is important. It is important for you to recognize if you actually have 60 unaccounted minutes for every day, because that is a better, when we like, we go back to what Candy was saying. What is a better thought? There's no time for me, or I have 60 unaccounted minutes a day. I have 30 unaccounted minutes for a day for me. Because a lot of you aren't taking a look at your life closely enough to see. Those times are usually not in a large swath. So like when Logan was little, I didn't have a lot of 8-hour personal time. I was building this business. So I slept usually 7 to 8 hours a night. I worked probably about 10 hours a day. I actually worked more growing the business than I do now. Although some days it really feels, well, let's just be truthful. I'm probably working about the same. Depends on the time of year though. Then I had about 4 hours a day that were really dedicated to Logan. You know, we drove a lot in the car to go to ABA appointments. Like he always had tutors and stuff. So there was all this time that I had to spend with Logan. And when I really broke it down, I was like, there's still 90 minutes a day that no one needs me. Now, some people wanted me, but no one needed me. And that's very different for a lot of you. There's a difference between people want your time and then deciding how much of this time do people actually really need me? Because sometimes we have to push back a little to get some of our own time back. So for me, I had found about 90 minutes. And I used that 90 minutes, an hour of it a day, to work out. That's where I wanted to spend my time. And the other 30 minutes was always about making sure that my food was ready for the day. I made sure my brain was clean. My ability to keep my weight off, my ability to stay fit and never have to deal with weight loss ever again, that's where I wanted my 90 minutes to go. It brought me so much joy to be the size I wanted to be. I was not willing to give that up for TV. I went a long time without watching television back in the day. I just finally decided, like, I'd rather be spending time with me and working on me to give myself the gift of a long life, better thoughts about me, to be able to wake up each day and be like, clothes fit again. This is amazing. That's what I wanted. And that's where I decided to spend my time. So I decided to make that time effective, not just spending it. All right. So we want to take a look at that 888, because time is the great equalizer in our lives. Every single person on this call has one thing in common. We all have only 24 hours a day. No one gets more time or less time for good or bad behavior. We all get the same amount of time. Some of us are going to use it more effectively than others. And so much of this is about how we think about time. It's not about how much you have. All right. So let's talk about creating time versus wasting time so that we can expedite some weight loss for you and make sure that your weight loss stays a priority, is a priority, and you love it being your priority. So the very first thing I want y'all to see is there is a difference between people who waste time and people who create time. Busy people tend to be some of the biggest time wasters. But here's what time wasting looks like, because I think a lot of you don't realize how much time you're actually wasting in life until we point, especially busy people. Busy people are usually the ones that are just like, oh no, you don't understand. I really have no time. But I almost always, when I work with people, I was actually working with one of the accountability groups, and one of the members was a resident who was doing 80 to 90 hours a week, every week, at a hospital. And we still found time that she said, oh, there is time for me to do my weight loss. Oh, there is a little bit of time for me. I haven't been looking for it, because it's really hard to look for that time when you're busy blaming your life. So first thing, busy people, this is like how we waste time. In the small pockets, 2 to 10 minute blocks, we think that's not good enough to get anything done. We just grab our phone. We surf for a minute. We go grab a snack. Because, I mean, what are you going to get done in 2 to 10 minutes? Or we're bitch texting our friends. It's like, oh, hang on. I got like 2 minutes. Let me let my friend know how bad my job sucks today. Let me text my friend about this travesty that Susan said to me 5 minutes ago in the break room. A lot of us are doing that. There's a lot of small pocket time. I am a master at small pocket time. If I've got 2 to 10 minutes, guess what Corinne has? I have a list of 2 to 10 minute tasks that I can bang out when those moments arise. When a meeting ends early, when I say you're retired, and your partner decides to sleep in, you got some found time. What are you doing with it? Sitting there bitching that they slept in, wishing they'd wake up? These are the things we want to be thinking about if you actually want to do things. We have to maximize 2 to 10 minute time blocks. One of the things that I also do is that I had heard is like let's say I want to organize my closet and it's a jack fucking mess. Make a list of things that you can do in 10 to 10 minutes. Like if I went into my closet right now and I had a 10 minute break, if I had on my list arrange shoes in color order, I could go in there and get that done. And that would be one part of organizing that would be done. The next thing could be like, all right, check that off. The next one could be go through panty drawer and get rid of anything I haven't worn in ages. That could be a 2 to 10 minute task. Very often when we are time wasting, it's because we don't make a list of things that we could do and then break the list down into such small steps that when we find pocket of times, we can be effective with our time. I have loads and loads of that. My husband is the king of it. In fact, the king just came in to close the door. He works in, I think it's 56 minute time blocks. So he literally has something that goes off on his computer, times him for 56 minutes. Is it 56 minutes? What is your little time block thingy? Just briefly, I'm on the call with 800 people. 54 minutes. Chris is over here scratching the head and pondering and ready to go into deep thoughts moment. I'm like, speed it up, buddy. We got a call. So 54 minutes. Every 54 minutes, he takes a break. And then he's got like these little 5 to 10 minute tasks that he does. He's always got this running list of bullshit around the house that needs to be done. So like, I'll catch him fly out of his office, do what he's doing right now, Right now, you know what his task is? Get all the Amazon packages.
Because he fucking orders 1,000 things a day.
He's taking them to the bedroom because I guarantee you he's not opening them right now. He's just getting them all in one spot. So that when his next break comes, I bet you he opens a box, puts it away, getting it done, getting it done. It's about the small things. So we waste time by fucking around and saying 2 to 10 minutes don't count. All right. Number two, time wasters. They like to do what feels good in the moment. So they tend to be people pleasing to avoid conflict. So I'm going to say yes to this because I don't want you to like get mad or think I'm bad or whatever it is. So now I'm just going to add more shit to my calendar. Wasting time. Another way we do what feels good in the moment, we take on extra responsibility because we don't want someone else to do it wrong. It's like our way is the best way. So instead of like our kids are a good example, our partners, I let Logan load the dishwasher. Now, when I go look at the dishwasher, when I do it, it is a Jenga puzzle at best. I mean, every ounce, I am just like, we are not wasting water. I am not wasting a dishwasher tab. Like that thing is going to, like, it is Legos on steroids. Logan is like, I'm going to throw this marker in there and about 3 cups. I'm going to lay the plates on top so they get washed straight up. So I might have 2 in there. Start. Oh my God. Guess what? It's infuriating. Guess what? I'm like, oh my God, we're going to run the dishwasher and, you know, like probably go bankrupt tomorrow. And not to mention, you know, I probably could have retired on the dishwasher tabs that we're going to like no longer be saving. But I also know I fucking hate loading the dishwasher. That is not how I want to effectively use my time. Would I rather spend 10 minutes loading the dishwasher? Or would I like to spend 10 minutes coaching someone in Facebook who's face down in donuts that needs my help? Which one do I want to be doing? So I choose annoyed over the dishwasher for feeling like I'm contributing to someone else's life. We don't even think through that stuff. One of the things that we waste time on is like not letting other people, like taking on this extra responsibility simply because we don't like exactly how they did it. When in the grand scheme of life, like how many of you are ready to look on your tombstone and say like, boy, she could pack a fucking dishwasher like a boss. You know, that laundry was always folded just right. And yet, what I'd love for my tombstone to read is, she lived all out. The one thing I remember about Corinne is that the things she wanted out of life, she found time to make it happen. I want that on my tombstone. I don't want it to read like a to-do list of, she is a really expert dishwasher. Oh, so be thinking about that. Another big time waster. Fuck it mode when things are really busy or you're doing things wrong. We spend a lot of time blaming ourselves. We spend a lot of time eating over imperfection, a lot of time in fuck it mode. And then we tell ourselves we don't have time to lose weight. You have time to lose weight when you're not fuck it eating. That time that you're spending there could be spent telling yourself things are not as bad as you think. You don't have to fuck this meal up anymore. You can stop eating whenever you choose. That will save you time in the long run for how long you have to lose weight. Every fuck it eat you stop in its tracks, whether you stop it before it happens or before you finish it out, is time you do not have to spend losing weight at the end of your journey. But we're not thinking about that. Too busy wasting time fuck it eating and wasting our life. The next one, The biggest time waster is worry. Most of you need to learn to journal in the face of worrying. Worrying leads to procrastinating. Procrastinating leads to weight gain. Procrastinating means we can't work and we can't do the things that we say are driving us crazy or that we don't have time to do, because every moment you spend eating is a moment you're not making something get finished on your list. But we don't think about it like that. With worry, I want you to do this. I taught this in the podcast, in the public podcast. If we could drop in the links here to listen to Worry Bucket and Worry 2.0, but it's real simple. If you got time to worry, you got time to journal. That's why most of you need to come to Think It, Ink It, Shrink It camp, because I'm going to show you how to quit wasting time by journaling. So the first thing you do is you make a worry list. This is where all the worries go, right here. Every one of them, a glorious list of them, whatever you're ruminating on. Then here is no control. If you have no control over the situation, you need to check the box, because you need to tell yourself, if I have no control over the situation, I have no business worrying. It's not helping. I have to just allow myself to be scared about what might happen. I have to be maybe fearful or doubting, but there's no sense in worrying, because as of right now, it's all out of my hands. The second one is 50% or some control. So now we're going to figure out, where do I have some control? Don't worry about 50%. I don't want y'all getting all like, oh my God, what if it's 42%, Corinne? Then what do I do? Fuck that. All of you, please quit looking for exacts. Do you have some control? Whatever that is, write those things down. Guess what? Fucking do the stuff you have control over. And the rest of it that you don't goes back to the no control list. The third, I actually have control. I'm just not doing shit about it. If you actually can affect the outcome, write down what you could do. Then all you got to do is make sure you're willing to do that stuff. Because a lot of times, shit that y'all are worried about, you actually need to go and talk to someone and have an uncomfortable conversation. But guess what you don't do? You don't have the uncomfortable conversation. So you just sit here and worry and feel like you have no control over the situation. At least here, you give yourself the choice. The choice is take control and do this shit, or quit telling myself to worry about it, because the truth is I won't do anything about this situation. That always feels better than just out of control worry. So that's the other one. Now, here are the traits of a time creator. We keep plans for tiny time. Instead of wasting time for long stretches that you don't have. So tiny time moments, keeping lists of, this is what I could get done in 2 to 10 minutes. When I have found time, here's things that I can bang out. I don't say I don't have enough time anymore. The next one is we make the most of our decisions based on the time and values that we have. All that means is instead of doing what feels good in the moment, you give yourself a pause and you say, I'm going to decide ahead of time how I'm going to spend my day, how I'm going to spend my time based on who I want to be in this world, based on what's important to me. If it is important for you to care for other people, and that is one of your core values, like it is mine, guess what? You create time to care for other people. You don't sit there and say you have to or you should. I never say that stuff. And I make time for people that I care about all the time. The next one, we refocus when we find ourselves distracted by things that don't matter. Thousands of times. I think a lot of you, like most of us, when we find ourselves distracted or not doing something correct, we just go into fuck it mode. When you are going to be someone who is a time creator, You stop that shit and you just tell yourself, look, it's just time to refocus. It's just time to get back on track undramatically. Because a lot of you are like, I gotta get back on track. It's real fucking easy. Get your planner out and make a plan right now. The next meal, ask if you're hungry. Take a sip of water. Go to fucking bed tonight. You know what's not easy? Sitting around thinking you got to do it all. Like, break it down into the micro moments. And when you're off track, you know what's hard? Belittling yourself, bemoaning, shaming. That's just wasting time. So many of you are spending large swaths of time beating yourself up for not being on track and being like, I just don't know how to get back on track. No, it's real simple. You're just spending so much of your time beating yourself up that you're missing the obvious. It is really easy to make a plan. It will only feel hard if while you're making the plan, you're telling yourself it won't work. I would much rather you make a plan while feeling like ass, telling yourself you fucked up, you're so off track, you regained weight, this won't work, whatever your shit is, I'd rather you tell yourself that stuff and make a plan. Because at least you're giving yourself a fighting chance to win. And you can just say like, look, it's actually really easy to get back on track. I'm just so busy beating myself up that I'm convincing myself it's hard. But it's actually easier for me to just make a plan. And if I want to beat myself up, I can do that. I can get to know those thoughts. I can change those thoughts. I can do whatever I want. But I no longer blame me feeling sorry for myself and me beating myself up and my low self-esteem and the way I talk. No more blaming not getting back on track because of the way you talk to yourself. Some of you are going to just have to listen to your brain be an asshole and say, I get it. You're not proud of me right now. And you're disappointed. And you're highlighting the shit show of my weight loss life. But guess what we're going to do? We're going to do our homework. You're going to talk to yourself just like a teenager who is sitting there being like, oh my God, it's so dumb. Never going to get math. I don't know why I have to do this. School sucks. And you're the worst parent ever because you make me do it. And where, if you had better genes, maybe I'd be smarter. They'd be like, you know what? You're right. I can see how terrible you feel. Let's drop out of school. Like, I'm going to support you for the rest of your life because you're having a bad day. Said no parent ever. You know what you say? I get it. Tough day, 16-year-old. When are you going to be done with your homework? You got to do the same thing to you. I get it. You're disappointed. You're ashamed. You're making fun of yourself. You're doing all the things. But when are you going to do that 20-hour plan? When we going to sit down and do that? How about right now? It's probably better than sitting there feeling sorry for yourself. Time waster. And then the last thing is when you get overwhelmed, a time creator reprioritizes. They don't fall out on the floor or their couch, clutching their pearls, that they're overwhelmed. They make a fucking list and they just tell themselves, look, I am overwhelmed. I probably should make a real long list. And then I need to ask myself what absolutely needs to get done. What could I get done on this list today that would make me feel a little bit better? Start there. And if you don't know where to start, then close your fucking eyes, throw your hand in the air and drop it. Pin drop, and that'll be your start. All right. So before we get out of here, how do you start getting better with your time? I want you to use the four keys to managing your time. Number one, decide ahead of time how you're going to use your time versus reacting to your day. Y'all, I give you the sidebar in the planner for a reason. You can start there with scheduling time blocks. Like, this is when I journal. This is when I create my plan. This is when I commute. This is when I go to work. If you just want to do large breaks like that, do it. If you want to get micro, do that, where it's like, you know, from 8 to 9, I check my email and respond to everything in my inbox. From 9 to 10, You know, I cook breakfast for me and my partner before we go play pickleball, whatever it is. Number two, decide how long you spend on things versus letting your day drag along. So you have to guess at this. So whenever I have a project or something new, I always take my best guess as to how long do I need to give myself to get this done, and I put it on my calendar. 90% of the time, I miss my time. Sometimes I give myself too much time. Majority of the time, especially when it's new shit, or I've only done it a handful of times, it takes longer than I thought. That's okay. It's a process. You got to guess in the beginning, and the better you get at staying consistent with following your plan, your guesses get better until they get pretty much in the wheelhouse, but it's never going to be perfect. Number three, anticipate obstacles versus complaining when shit happens again and again and again. I think one of the big things for y'all is to learn how to plan your day. It's just like what we ask you in the planner. Plan your day and then ask yourself, what might get in the way today? And how will I face that? You can use that in anywhere in your life. Even if you're a stay-at-home mom with littles, what might get in my way today? Two of them start fighting and I got to send them to timeout. So we don't get to go to, you know, McDonald's or whatever it is. What are the common things and how do you want to show up in those moments? Decide that ahead of time. Don't just throw your hands up in the air. Then the last thing is establish routines for how you work and live. My routine is to work out in the mornings. Most days that's when I do it. My routine is there's a certain time of day that I close up shop and I go to bed. I live in my bedroom. I watch television. Try to figure out your routines and put a little bit of time for you in there. It can be literally some of you, if you just started giving yourself 5 to 10 minutes to yourself, it could go a long way. All right. This is what I want you to do. I want you to go to the Facebook group if you're in the Facebook group, and I want you to share something you learned today. What was your aha? Just post in there, this is what I got out of it. This is what I'm going to try, because I really want to watch y'all this month go through everything that I teach you and do some things with it. All right. I will see y'all on Sunday for coaching. Bye, y'all.